staring out into the night.
The length of time it took to record this album, wow. Well, we started in August, but the writing process was way before that. I was on tour at the time, so there was a lot of back and forth and a lot of writing in hotel rooms with different writers, studio musicians in and out of the studio during that whole time. So it was quite a process, and we had to have it done and have it out by November. So it was a lot of hustling.
He came off tour and he came over to the studio to meet me. And I wasn't sure whether we were going to work together. But when he sat down and met me, he played me a song he wrote called Home. And I was really convinced at that point that I wanted to work with him.
We did interviews with a lot of different producers, and we kind of knew instantly he was the one. Listening to what he had done with POD and Papa Roach and Theory of a Dead Man and a few others, we kind of knew at the time that was the kind of what we were going for, the rock, but it was also able to cross over.
He was on the road during the making of the record, so he really entrusted a lot of the recording of it to my guys and me, but we connected so well, we were on the same page. I knew what record he wanted to make. He really wanted to make a rock record with some pop overtones.
The meeting went well, and we started working immediately, talking over the phone and working through. I would send him demos of songs that I had written, and we'd kind of work on the arrangements, and so that's kind of how that went down.
Because I trusted Chris's intent, the way he sings and how he delivers things, that I recorded everything acoustically with him first. And then we based everything around his acoustic demos. So we had the similar feel from what he originally intended when he wrote the song.
He was really hands-on with kind of like giving me pointers on this is where this song should change here. Maybe try a different chord here. It was interesting to hear his take on certain things that I wouldn't have thought of, but they were really simple things that were kind of right in front of your face. And he would say, hey, try that, and it would be, you know, what made the song great.
The one thing I will say about Chris, I've never seen anyone write so many songs. I mean, the guy just wants to work and work and work. He is an incredibly hard working driven guy. And so we would ask him to take days off, and he wouldn't take a day off. He just wanted to know who he could write with and what he could do. And you know, it was pretty impressive, and his work ethic, you know, that has a lot to do with why he's successful.
One of my favorites that I fought really hard to get on the record was Breakdown, which was a combination of two songs I had written years ago, and which was something I would have never thought of. You know, he was saying, hey, take the verse from this song and the chorus from the other song and kind of merge them together. And so I think to this day, it's still one of my favorite songs to play live.
I think great music is what drives his records. You know, he's always a stickler about songs, and that's what's great about him. He knows good songs mean a lot. So he's, you know, he may argue for some songs that are his personal favorites, but at the end of the day, he always goes for the great material.
The success definitely makes you feel like you have all the power in the world, and that you're given this huge platform that people listen to you all of a sudden, and it's kind of a scary thing because I think everybody wants to do good in life, but when you get to this position that you feel like, wow, everybody's listening, all of a sudden you feel like you have to have something great to say. So it almost inspires you to be a better person.
I think for me, the first time I met Chris was in the store I worked at. I think he was in there wanking off on some pedals or something.
Can you say
at
that?
the boss pedal board, which makes a lot of noise and was really annoying. And he would come in and play, cut the phaser on, the flanger.
This thing is awesome.
First time I met Chris, I came up to do an audition up here in LA, and basically I was sitting on the couch. Nobody realized or thought I was actually one of the guitarists trying out for the band. I thought I was just kind of hanging out at the studio.
Janitor.
Yeah, so that's how that started.
You were a master of the custodial arts.
That's right.
Zen master.
Zen master.
How did you first time, you met yourself?
First time I met Chris Daughtry, was in a dream. Weird thing, actually. A dream. Yeah. I made up what you're watching right now and enjoying right now. This is all a dream.
The first time I met Chris was, we lived in the same place in North Carolina.
He ran up to me in the movie theater and said, "I'm your drummer. See you later."
Please.
See you at the audition.
I met Chris here in LA at the audition. Seemed like a nice fellow, and here we are.
Fellow.
Nice fellow.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Before show, I think we all just kind of are in our own heads. And like everybody does different things. We sometimes crank the iPod up to 80s dance music, and we all have a good laugh.
And he's not kidding.
That's a ritual.
That's actually, that does happen quite frequently.
There's nothing wrong with a little flam.
Nothing
wrong with a little flam.
I kind of wanted to be George Michael. I actually pierced my own ear as a 9-year-old with a Care Bear earring because of George Michael and replaced it with a Bangalore. Well, it was my cousin's. It was my cousin's little Care Bear earring that I popped it through and then replaced it with a little dangling cross because I wanted to be George Michael.
All right, that's the first time you all heard that.
Yeah.
I'll be the last. So let's see, we got Care Bear, George Michael.
Wow, I've never told that story to anyone until now. We kind of developed a little bit of a stage show between me and the guys, and that's when it started getting a lot more comfortable for me as a front man, and then everything else just kind of followed suit. Playing in front of thousands definitely does not get old. Hundreds, a little old.
The miles are getting longer, it seems. The closer I get to you.
I think the best thing about touring is just getting to a new town and realizing, you know, the fans are there. They really are there for you. They're there to get pumped up
to see this,
to get excited about this music that they've been following for the last couple of years. You know, our fans are so involved with our band, and they know everything about us, and they're always reading about us and messaging back and forth. But I think they're really intrigued to see what's going to happen musically.
They also know where we're going to be before we do. It's Not Over was a little weird because we had to do it in, was it fast time or slow motion?
Fast.
We had to do it.
Slow.
Yeah, we had to do it like twice as fast as the real song and then twice as slow just so they can get all the, it was a little weird.
That was
a little
fun,
weird. Actually. Awkward. It was very awkward for you.
It was really awkward.
Because you weren't in it.
How ironic.
One of the funny things that we had to do on one of the videos was on Feels Like Tonight, because of the effect that they have in the light, night to day,
time or lapse.
Day to night, time lapse things. You play the song and then you have to run as fast as you can out of the set to get out of the shot.
It was a 36-hour shoot.
Should we do it?
It was a 36-hour shoot.
Come on, let's do it.
Okay. So it's go.
Get out of my set.
Get back.
Cut!
That's kind of how that went down. I wasn't playing guitar on that song. I don't know why I was mimicking that I did. But
it wasn't going.
And I wasn't doing that.
I think you did on a couple.
But it was interesting. It was literally 36-hour shoot nonstop. We would get a few hours sleep and then be woken up at 3 in the morning to go shoot again.
Yeah.
It was pretty brutal. And I Over You was probably the most grueling because it was like 100 and some degrees in the desert.
In the
we were in all this dirt and dust. Like they would shovel dirt on the floor of this house that I think they filmed the Devil's Rejects in. So it all of a sudden had this extra creepiness to it. Interesting.
Next one is this amazing performance video for Home that we got to do in their hometown.
That was awesome. Awesome.
That was awesome.
Just gigantic.
So easy to film.
Yeah.
Huge turnout.
It was basically Danny Clinch on the road with us for a couple weeks getting footage, and then we did this concert in me and Joey's hometown, and there was supposed to be like, 15,000 people show up, and it was 30,000, and all of a sudden it was magical. As I say numerous times, and I've said before, we couldn't do this without you, so thank you very much for buying our record and supporting us through requesting our song on the radio, voting for us on MTV or VH1, all that stuff for the Grammys, everything that we've been able to do over the past few years was only because you supported us through it and that you came to our shows and that you continue to get the word out about us, and we're forever grateful, and that we hope that we have your support in the future, and we hope that we can keep giving you what you want. So, peace out. God bless. Be good to each other.